The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
We have reached the midway point, actually past the midway point, but we've reached the All-Star break in the NBA season. Time to look back and look ahead on the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. I'm Mark Schanowski, joined by Kendall Gill, and we're lucky enough to have Kelly Krall with us before she heads off, jets her way to Arizona to cover Cubs.
We're jealous.
But why are you jealous? Because of the weather? Because it's only 50 there. I think I should.
Really?
It really is. Only 50. Oh, they're okay. Having their winter storm right now with 50 degrees. So, but still, I don't have to take the parka, so it's well worth it.
50 is better than here.
Baseball, to me, just means summer's around the corner for some reason. Just
spring.
Seeing them.
Let's not rush it. Yeah.
I'd like to at this point. But, yeah, I'm excited about doing that.
Yeah,
but
good.
Certainly with eyes on the Bulls still in the second half, that you would certainly like to see some growth for this group if
right.
they can stay healthy moving forward.
Well, let's take a look back at what's transpired. Obviously, season began with high expectations. I remember John Paxson on Media Day saying, we're healthy and we're too deep at every position, and that went right out the window. Like the third practice,
he jinxed us.
Lauri Markkanen had a pretty serious elbow injury, and then, of course, Chris Dunn and Bobby Portis suffered the sprained knees that put them out for the better part of 2 months, and the Bulls had dug themselves a huge hole, made the coaching change, Fred Hoiberg out, Jim Boylan in. But the records for both coaches are about the same. Really, Kendall, I think the injuries sabotaged their hopes of showing a lot of progress in year two.
They absolutely did, and also, I believe, sabotaged the future of Fred Hoiberg as the Bulls coach. You know, with the injuries, I expected them to at least compete for seventh or eighth position in the playoffs. And, you know, I thought that they were on target to do that. But once Lauri hurt his elbow, I think that really sunk the ship. We see how he's playing now. Mm-hmm. He's playing like an all-star caliber player. Just imagine had he not gotten hurt. Just imagine if Denzel Valentine, who I believe is a key piece coming off of the bench, had not gotten hurt. You never know. That made Fred maybe still coaching. Bobby Portis and Jabari probably would still be here. I think all of the injuries, that's my cousin, all of the injuries played a big part in everything that's happening.
You know, Kelly, I think that I don't know if they'd be the Sacramento Kings who are contending for a playoff spot in the West, but I think this season would have been markedly different. Like Kendall mentioned, Fred Hoiberg might still be the head coach. I just think the injuries got them off to a negative start they never could get out from under them.
No, I absolutely agree. And they could not catch a break. At first it was just Lauri, and you thought, okay, a few games here or there. But then it was Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and Wendell Carter Jr. Now we knew Denzel Valentine in a way was going to be down, but out for the whole season. It seemed like the injury bug legit just kept coming at every single one of these guys before the entire team felt like it was depleted, and then you felt how deflated they were even when they got a guy back. It just the rhythm that takes out. I'm sure Kendall, you can speak more to that, but you can't find a rhythm when it's a different guy every night in a different position, and you got guys playing out of position, which so many guys have done this season. And we see what, like Mark said, that Lowry's doing right now. Mm-hmm. Had he been healthy at the very how early would this have kicked in for him so that he could have been off and running?
You know, I think it would have kicked in right away, because now you're starting to see how Zach and Lowry are playing with each other. They kind of like know each other's tendencies now. Mm-hmm. That would have kicked in early in the season. I don't think Chris Dunn would have struggled so much because he would have had everybody in place.
You sure about that?
I'm hoping. Yeah. I'm hoping he wouldn't have struggled as much. You know, Bobby Portis, I think Bobby Portis is one of the better guys that come off of the bench in the NBA
sure.
right now. I think that's an important part. But It all did.
Because he talked about being sixth man of the year back in training camp, and he got hurt.
I sat down with him, and that was
and
exactly.
missed 2 months. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and Bob, that would have been different, too, had he not been
It would have been totally different, because Bobby has been he's been hurt twice this year, mm-hmm. right? And also, too, actually, he's been hurt 3 times. Remember when he was in Golden State a couple weeks back, Kevin Durant pulls his elbow back, and he struggles for about 3 or 4 games until he gets his rhythm back. So, you know, it's just been a bad luck year for the Bulls. But hopefully now that they've made the trade for Otto Porter, I really like what I see. You know, yes, they don't play defense yet, Mark, as we just discussed. But the offense is a lot more fluid. You have 4 guys now that are your core that are under 25. Yeah. Otto Porter being 25 years old, Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, and Wendell Carter Jr. Those are 4 nice pieces that you can build around right now.
And you're thinking that – yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, before we look forward, one of the other things you guys have both said is Fred Hoiberg's job may not have been on the – yeah. on the outs as early as it was. I'd be so curious to know if this team had been healthy and he could have done what he wanted, what it would have looked like. I mean, I know that's behind us now, but just to have seen sort of now as they've opened up the offense the last week or so, this is fun, more fun to watch than what we had to watch for about a 4-week stretch.
Yeah, Fred hasn't made many public comments. I remember right after the coaching change, I texted with him a little bit, and he said, I really wish I would have had the chance to coach this team healthy because he felt like this was kind of the team that could have played his style.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'll never know if it would have worked out had they had a full, healthy deck. And, you know, even after the coaching change, when we realized they're not going to make a playoff push, this is about draft lottery position again, you're thinking, well, at least we can watch the 2 first-round draft picks develop. And then Wendell Carter Jr. goes out with a hand injury after 44 games. He was their Iron Man. He had played in every game. Yeah. He's done for the season. Then Chandler Hutchison breaks a toe, plays 41 minutes on that broken toe, and then, you know, he's hoping to get back after the All-Star break. But we haven't even been able to see the 2 first-round draft picks develop the way everyone wanted to see.
Yeah, we haven't. But you know what? I think I got a good sample size of Wendell Carter Jr. We pretty much know what he can do. And I think that he will improve with more work over the summertime. I really wish Chandler Hutchison had got more of a chance, because he just got into the starting lineup. Bray fractures his toe. But I really like what I see in him. But I'm excited about the future, you know, because I really like – I was kind of skeptical about the trade for Otto Porter Jr. at first, but now that I see what he brings to the table, I see the three-point shooting he does, the way he can post up, he can drive, he moves the basketball on offense, it doesn't stick. You know, if we get lucky enough and get the first pick, then I think you're really talking about the Bulls making a big jump next year.
Yeah, the potential's there for a pretty quick turnaround.
No doubt about it. And everything Kendall said about Otto Porter Jr., I really enjoyed watching the floor. The spacing on the floor looks entirely different in the last 2 weeks. But something just from having been around him now in the locker room a couple days, I wasn't sure from a chemistry standpoint how it was going to gist with a guy who's coming in, making as much money as he does. He's also being looked at as he's supposed to be this veteran vocal guy who he's never really had to be before. But just in a few short conversations with him, I think he's very self-aware, and he comes in knowing that's what people are looking for and what the guys are already thinking. And yet he has a very poised sense to him as to, yes, this is who I am, this is what I can bring to the table, but I very much want to learn about these guys, grow with these guys, help these guys how I can, but I'm still very much open to learning from them too, what they can teach me. And I thought that was interesting to pick up, just in the, because that's going to be big with guys like Zach LaVine and Lowry, who's supposed to be the face of this franchise, but doesn't exactly have that a personality to him in a way, really. He's not a flashy guy, but neither is Otto Porter from what I've seen so far. And so I think this could work, because I think the chemistry thing, and you know all about that, when you've only got 12 guys in there, that can really work for you or against you, depending on what guys you've got in that room together.
Yeah, and if Rolo moves on after this year, which everyone's expecting, Otto Porter and Zach LaVine are kind of your vets, depending on who they bring in free agency. So it's important these guys not only continue to develop as basketball players, but as leaders of a very young team.
Yeah, but if I'm Gar and Pax, I still bring in veterans. You know, I know that they're going to grow, but I still think that they're still too young to really take the mantle.
25.
I had to 25
look at
years
Otto
old,
Porter's
yeah.
25. Yeah.
And that's an old guy in the league.
Yeah, he's the one that's played the longest.
Right, 25 years old. So, You know, I think that free agency is key. You have to bring in free agents that can still play, because in order to gain the respect of the players, those guys have to be able to steal whatever they talk about in the locker room, they need to be able to do out on the floor. And that's the way you gain the respect. You guys know who I want the Bulls to bring back in. I also think you need a veteran.
Well, we know, but tell our listeners.
Well, all of the listeners out there, I want the Bulls to make a serious play for Derrick Rose to come back as the point guard for this team.
Would you want him to start?
Well, it all depends on who you draft.
Who you pair with him,
yeah. Yeah, who you pair with him. You know, Derrick is agreeable to coming off of the bench now. He's done that in Minnesota all year long. Karl Anthony Towns said that had it not been for Derrick Rose, he would not have gotten through the Jimmy Butler debacle in Minnesota. That shows you leadership. Also, Andrew Wiggins said it as well. So all those young guys were going to Derrick Rose for guidance, and he provided that. When Derrick Rose was here before, he just led by example. He didn't say anything to anybody. But now he's 30, 31 years old. He'll be 31 next year. I think that he's ready to accept it, come back home. You know, I know the fan base would go crazy if he were allowed to come back home. And most importantly, he can still really play.
Still play, yeah.
He's probably leader, front runner now for sixth man of the year, one or two. If he wins that, you know, I think that he has to be a guy that you really look at.
But that would be kind of a tricky negotiation. I mean, there's been a lot of history, both good and bad, with Derrick Rose camp, and the Bulls organization. I know when he left, I think he left on good terms in terms of the personal relationship, mm-hmm. but I think they had kind of decided that it was best to make a split from a basketball perspective. Now, if you bring him back, if he's going to be your starting point guard, with all those young guys around him, it's going to be a tricky mix, and I think it's going to be something that will have to be talked at various levels of the organization, from the front office to even ownership, to see if the Reinsdorfs are on board with bringing the whole Derrick Rose drama back to Chicago.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think that it's any more drama.
Yeah.
I think that he had 3 years now to be away from home, to grow up. You know, he's in a serious relationship now.
He have another child, I saw.
Yeah, he's got another baby girl.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's grown a great deal. I can tell by his statements in all of his interviews that he has grown. And, you know, I go back to my situation. When the first time I left the Charlotte Hornets, you know, I left on bad terms. Went away to Seattle for a couple years. Came back. And I had the same conversation with the organization as you're talking about now that Derrick should have. You know, we had to sit down. We had to see, you know, whether all of the stuff in the past was in fact in the past. They wanted to see whether I had matured. And once we had that meeting, everything was great. I came back and I was playing great basketball. Unfortunately, a month and a half later, they traded me to New Jersey.
So all that discussion went right out the window. Kendall, welcome back. We're trading you.
They traded me to New Jersey because they busted up the team. Yeah. Alonzo Mourning went to the Miami Heat, and the big three was no longer. Larry Johnson, Kendall Gill, and Alonzo Mourning just didn't work out.
Before we get to the second half of the season, I want to give you a chance to plug a special that's coming up on NBA TV about that Hornets team.
Yeah, a special about my Charlotte Hornets team went out back when the buzz started. I think it's called Where the Buzz Began.
Yeah, it
when
looks great. I saw the trailer for
it. On NBA TV, it'll be premiering tomorrow night at, I believe, 5:30.
Yeah, Thursday night.
Thursday night. So it's great. I mean, I can't wait to see it. They came here to Chicago to interview me about it. Muggsy was interviewed. Dale, Alonzo. So, you know, it's going to be a great documentary. You know, and I always say about that team, if that team had stayed together, which is what I'm hoping for the Chicago Bulls, keeping this core together, then we would have done some special things. I always tell Nick Anderson, who's my college teammate who played for the Orlando Magic, you guys probably wouldn't have had the success that you had our team stayed together.
Yeah, a lot of what-ifs when you look at the NBA, both past, present, and future, when we're talking about possibly maybe getting Zion Williamson in Chicago.
I've never told you this, but that was my starter jacket in elementary school.
Not that to make everybody,
you,
right?
That was a great
logo. That was everybody's starter jacket.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody started. Everybody had a Charlotte Hornets starter jacket.
Sorry, I just had to get that in before we
Yeah, Kelly, you're making me seem old right now.
I didn't want to. That wasn't the point. It was just that was such a cool jacket.
You know, I'm getting to the point mentally where I'm forgetting that I'm 50 years old, but every once in a while, somebody like you.
I forget how old I am all the time, too. So moving on to that second half, shall
we? Yeah, 24 games left for the Bulls. And, you know, we mentioned Carter Jr.'s done for the season. Chandler Hutchinson hoping to get back before the season ends. But they get 24 more games to work on this chemistry with Porter, LaVine, Markkanen, and then hopefully Chris Dunn can get back and show what he can do as a point guard. Do wins and losses matter over these final 24 games? I know from a draft perspective you probably don't want, but Jim Boylan is still trying to prove that he's the guy for this job. They're going to try to win some games, aren't they, down the stretch?
Definitely. Yeah, and they're competitors out there, of course. Yeah. I mean, these guys, they get sick of losing. And right now, as we hit this break, they're getting really sick of hearing about the losing at home thing because that just keeps getting brought up every night. And so I definitely think, Mark, they're going to try and win some games. I think really this has got to be about individual growth, though, right? And then the growth of, like you said, those three with Otto Porter and Lowry and Zach. But I think all eyes are on Chris Dunn in the second half. You got to find out what you have, and have they already decided what they have in Chris Dunn? But I know that it's been interesting just in the last week or so listening to him talk about, we've seen the multiple facilitators, multiple ball handlers, guys bring the ball up. It's been fun, I think, to watch Lowry Markkanen board it and run the break, right? Yeah. I mean, that's opening the offense up like that has been fun to watch, but I don't know how that has affected what Chris Dunn is trying to do night in, night out in terms of running an offense and consistently having the same game night in and night out, which is what we just have not seen from him.
Yeah, I mean, and it's going to be tough for Chris to come back and really establish himself in the lineup now, because right now they look pretty good with Zach playing the one and Lowry bringing the basketball up. You may not need Chris at this point in the season, which is bad for him.
We're seeing Ryan Arcidiacono right now make smart basketball plays. All he's got to do is set these guys up, it runs itself now in a way.
You know, I'm thinking that organizationally they may already have made that decision.
I was wondering.
Because Chris Dunn is eligible for a rookie extension, and you remember that's always a tricky negotiation because the Bulls have a very strong philosophy that if you're going to get that security, you're going to have to give a little bit back in terms of what you're going to get in terms of your financial compensation. Mm-hmm. Didn't work with Jimmy Butler. Didn't work with Bobby Portis. They made an offer. They couldn't come to an agreement. Now, Chris Dunn, if they go into the summer and either draft a Ja Morant or bring back a Derrick Rose, the offer to Chris Dunn is probably going to be as a bench player, you know? Yeah. And that's probably going to be tough for a guy who was an All-American at Providence, who was the fifth pick in the draft, to get his head around mentally. I mean, they may be headed for a divorce as early as this summer.
That's absolutely right. However, I think that, you know, Chris Dunn has been given a chance. He just hasn't done the job the Bulls need him to do in order to warrant a starter contract. You know, who knows? Chris Dunn may be an elite bench player coming off of the bench, you know, backing up somebody. I like him in that role, you know, because he doesn't have to play a ton of minutes and he can just go out there and be himself who he was in college.
But you know how NBA players think. He's looking at himself as a starter who should be paid accordingly with other players that are in that position.
I know, but sometimes you have to check your ego at the door.
Which is tough sometimes.
It's very tough. When you have to, your agent has to be honest with you, and you have to look in the mirror and be honest with yourself and say, listen, you know, I just didn't get the job done at that level, but I can still be productive in another role.
Kelly, have you been watching much college basketball, much of Duke?
Probably not as much as you have, but some. I actually did watch a game between Oklahoma State and Kansas the other day when I was on the treadmill, only because I thought it was interesting because Wayne Selden Jr., I had just done an interview with him, and speaking of making you feel old, I was telling him how I went to Mizzou and they used to have the best, you know, rivalry, and he was like, yeah, so they're not in the Big 12 anymore. And I was like, ugh. So that made me feel really old. But we did have a little bit of fun with that. But yeah. I was telling him, I go, they have a hard time with the zone, man. I mean, no one can shoot outside for that Kansas team this year, really. It doesn't feel like. But anyway, probably not as much as you, but a little bit of Duke. And Zion's just really unbelievable.
He's a freak of nature.
I mean, he is a freak of nature. I definitely believe that is the best team in college ball right now. I still will find it interesting, though, come March, just to see, because every team, even they've seen a team come in and beat them here and there. So come March, will they be able to stay focused and actually get the job done? That's what I'll be interested to see. But what was it they came back from the other night?
23. You're down 23 to Louisville. About 12 minutes left. Yeah, it was 99.9 win percentage for Louisville.
Was that more on what Kansas changed or what Louisville just did?
Would Duke change? Yeah.
A little bit of both.
The guards for Louisville just panicked when they started pressuring.
They panicked, and Cam Reddish started hitting three-pointers in the second half. And actually, I'm starting to like Cam Reddish.
I was just going to ask you that question.
Yeah, he's starting to come around. It seems like he's more comfortable with his role.
Can he play the two in the NBA?
I think he could possibly play the two. Yeah. You know, I actually like his range better than I do R.J. Barrett's. I like his athleticism better than R.J. Barrett. You know, it all depends on how he finishes up this season, if I'm a GM, whether I take Cam Reddish or R.J. Barrett.
You know, right now the Bulls have the fourth worst record in the league. If they hold at four, would you be okay with them taking Reddish? I mean, they have Porter and Hutchinson at the three, and LaVine at the two. I don't know exactly where he fits.
Yeah, no, I'd probably – more so lean to Ja Morant if I can get him.
If he's there.
Yeah, if he's there. You got to draft the point guard. You know, and that goes back to my point. Even if you re-sign Derrick Rose and he agrees to come back, you still have to go get a point guard that's going to be your future guy.
Yeah.
You still have to do that.
Yeah, and he's exciting. I know a lot of people haven't seen much Murray State basketball. If you go on YouTube, though, and you type in Ja Morant, you're going to see a pretty spectacular guy who can dunk the ball, can finish like Russell Westbrook at the rim.
He can finish like Russell Westbrook. He passes very well. He can shoot it. He has the it factor, the je ne sais quoi that I was talking about, you know, and I love guys like that, guys that compete at a high level. And I think the only thing is, Mark, he was a secret when you first brought him up.
Yeah, now he's
now everybody knows about him, you know?
Yeah, he could go as high as number two in
you
the draft.
You
should have
kept that one closer to the vest.
I wish I could, like the old Jerry Krause, Scottie Pippen stories where he tried to hide him.
Yeah.
He said, don't go to the combine. I don't want anybody to see you.
Right.
The times have changed. There's no way to hide a guy no matter what level he's playing at. All right, we're going to wrap things up because Kelly's got to catch a flight in the morning. You know, she's got to head to Arizona. Yeah. So let's have some fun at the end. Let's make some predictions. We got a couple of months left in the season, then we get into the playoffs. Let's start with MVP race. Most people looking at it is either James Harden or Giannis, but Paul George is closing fast over in OKC. Who do you guys like for MVP?
Well, I think it's going to go James Harden's way. I do. I just don't think – even though watching Giannis here the other night, Antetokounmpo, he is just something else. He really is. But I just think what James Harden has done in capturing the league and have done it now multiple years, I think a lot of, you know, guys are behind him. And while I do really like Paul George, I think his stretch of what he's done is just a smaller sample size, and I think people will take that in consideration. So not that that would be – my vote, but I think that is who is going to get the MVP, is James Harden.
You know, Kelly, I agree with you, but I think Giannis Antetokounmpo deserves it.
I do too.
His team is number one in the East.
Yep.
He's playing great basketball, and who knows? You know, Harden won it last year. If he slows down at any time with the last couple months of the season and Giannis continues to play, I think it'll go to Giannis. But I can't argue with you. What James Harden is doing, you know, as far as scoring the basketball, it's remarkable, even if they let him cheat.
What do you think, Mark?
By taking traveling and all that.
Well, I think right now, at this moment in time, I think Harden is the favorite, but the Western Conference standings are so fluid. You know, Houston's kind of in the middle 4-5 range. If they slump and drop down to 6-7-8, and he doesn't score 30 points every night like he's on that stretch right now, I think the voters may start tilting towards Giannis, because when you look at his numbers, he's averaging like 27 and 12. He's shooting 58% from the field, and to lead that team which was, you know, just a kind of a fringe playoff team last year, right, to having the best record in the East, that's pretty remarkable. So, yeah, I think I'd go with Giannis as well. I think we would all agree Golden State is a prohibitive favorite, likely to come out of the West. Yeah. The East, though, is going to be fascinating.
It is.
Who would you pick to win the Eastern Conference right now?
I'm going to pick the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
You know, I still think that now they have added Mark Gasol. Kawhi Leonard's playing great. I just think that it's their time now. The Philadelphia 76ers, I still think they're kind of, even though I believe they have the second best starting five in the league, I still think that it's something there where they can't really reel off a number of wins against top-level teams.
They're kind of combustible, too. We saw Embiid curse out the officials.
Right.
We know Jimmy at times doesn't like it when things aren't going his way. So.
Right, and Ben Simmons still can't shoot outside
still
of 15 feet.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, let's be honest. I mean, when at the end of basketball games in the playoffs, they're going to force him to make that shot. And if he can't make it, then, you know, that's it. Game over.
I think Philly is so intriguing. And I'm totally with you guys, though. The youth to that team and just the explosiveness of losing it upstairs at times. Like, what are you doing, guys? But I'm with Kendall. The talent on that. I will be very curious to see how they come out of the break and if they can put something together. But watching them the other night against the Celtics, still not be able to get over the hump, I'm with Kendall on Toronto. I think it's their time. They were so close a year ago, and with the addition of Marc Gasol, they really have it all, and they have the depth, and I think the coach behind them. So, yeah, I'm kind of with Toronto.
Well, if you're a devoted listener of the Bulls Talk podcast, you remember the episode when Kelly was talking about rooting for the Pacers growing up in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And I told you about listening to Milwaukee Bucks games on my transistor radio in my room in Milwaukee, so I'm going to root for the Bucks. I don't know if they're the best team, but this is more of a heart pick than a brain pick. I think if with the addition of Nico and putting shooters around Giannis, I think they have a chance to get all the way to the finals. I really do.
It's going to be fun. And hey, I'm glad the Pacers haven't fallen apart, by the way,
That's good.
Wes Matthews is a good pickup.
I'm glad that they've hung in there. Sorry, Kendall, didn't mean
to cut you off. I mean they've done a great job, and Mark, I hope that the Milwaukee Bucks have a great run. They deserve it.
Yes.
With the MVP candidate and the way that they put players around him like Nico. Chris Middleton, Brogdon. I think that those guys really, they're the sleeper of these. I actually would pick them before I pick Philly.
Yeah, it's gonna be fascinating to watch those final four teams go to battle. Only taking Indiana out because no Victor Oladipo.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be tough.
So it's, you know, the playoffs are gonna be a lot of fun. We can't wait, and we're obviously looking to see what happens with this Bulls team over the final 24 games. Hopefully, we see more encouraging signs from some of the young guys and some progress to build off as we get into the offseason and head to that big day. Everyone's got May 14th circled on their calendars, the NBA draft lottery, to see which pick the Bulls are going to get. So we hope you all enjoy your All-Star break. The Bulls won't play again till Friday, February 22nd, when they make the trip down to the Magic Kingdom to take on Orlando. The Orlando suddenly hot there on a stretch of good basketball trying to get into that Eastern Conference playoff field. So we thank you for listening to the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. For Kelly and Kendall, I'm Mark. Enjoy the week. We'll see you again real soon.